All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. Though the weather outside might be frightful, inside on ESPN, it's delightful for the next 3 hours. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. It is everything and more as we kick around your business day, talking sports and other things. Fellas, what's going on?
What's up?
What's up, man? What's going on?
All good? All good? Just settling back into somewhat normalcy today after
yesterday. I like
yesterday
your booster seat.
You had to bring it up.
No, yeah, of course I did. Yeah. I'm going to take a picture of it.
It's fine.
He's got tweet a booster seat?
Yeah. He brought in a pillow so he could be taller than me on camera.
Not taller than him, because I really don't
hemorrhoids.
Give a rat's ass about
it. Got hemorrhoids.
No, not that either. But I
he is old.
I'm one that supports, and I'm going to stop supporting as of today, Barry Lynn. But I support Barry in the fact that that blue chair is the ultimate and the ideal
that is a fact.
Height.
That is a fact.
Right? And everybody else
fact.
Hates it.
Yes.
But obviously it was his first, so I always defer and say, of course, that's going to be his. But the rest of the chairs in this studio suck.
That's a fact, too.
And they either, when
big,
you sit in
facts.
Them, eventually they start gradually slumping down and shrinking down to the floor, or they're just not very tall and you can't get them up to a certain height. So I finally just decided I'll bring in something to try and assist. So I brought in a cushion.
So he brought in a hemorrhoid cushion, as you put it.
It is not a hemorrhoid cushion.
What is it?
It's one
it's
of those.
A booster seat. It looks like
no.
a booster seat you get at Applebee's.
Well, evidently, the thing that surprised me, but I forgot, you have your own competitive gaming chair. But most people, they go to like Target
that
or whatever.
That is not true,
and
Joel.
You can get this. It's like a back,
not that big of a dork.
It's like a back pillow with arms on it, so you put it on the couch if you're watching TV, and it kind of props you up a little.
Ooh, is that what that's for?
Yeah.
Because like I took one of Nora's fluffy little cutesy couch pillows.
Yeah.
And my fat ass has destroyed that pillow's buoyancy.
Bro, if you look at this thing, I'm actually sitting on
so
the back.
So do you use that on the couch every day?
Well, I did, and then Lisa decided that she just said it was too ugly of a pillow to
so
be on
threw
our
it
couch.
Away.
So
yeah.
She tried to hide it in a closet. So when I was thinking of like seat cushions, because I've got seat cushions when
too
you go
ugly?
To a big
wait,
game
wait,
or whatever.
Wait, wait, wait. Too ugly. Yeah. Now see, this is the problem that I have with women. Wives. Sorry, not women. Wives.
Mm-hmm.
This is the problem I have with wives. Is Nora was the same way. She was like, there was something, and she was like, well, it looks ugly. I'm like, no one is here but you and me.
Right.
And when someone comes over, I'll put it up.
Exactly.
But who gives a rat's ass if there's a pillow on the couch when it's you and me? That I don't understand that.
I'm just, and here's the even more ironic part. So in our living room on the first floor, I don't even bother screwing with it. This pillow was upstairs.
Wait, what does that mean?
Like, I'm not going to do anything that, like, throw some god-awful-looking pillow or blanket or anything
gotcha.
Like that. And I also don't really prefer to watch TV down there. If I'm going to watch TV, I'm either going to go to the man cave, or if I'm, like, hanging out with Taylor, I'm going to go to what we call the family room, which is, like, an upstairs open area where she's
not
got all her toys
cave,
and
just,
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, but
open
there's
area.
A couch in there. So I put this pillow on the couch while I can see what Taylor's doing. I can lay on the couch, have my back propped up, watch TV.
Yeah.
Yet she still said it was too ugly to be on the couch. I'm like, no one sees it.
How about
it.
This? You just tell her, don't go upstairs. Just stay downstairs.
And you know what I get?
Where
that?
It's all pretty.
Well, I clean it, so I might as well be upstairs.
Well, maybe do this then. And this is, you know, the far be it from me to tell you, but I do have a few years on you when it comes to marriage and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Get the pillow out, use it, and when you're done, just find a spot to put it in a closet where you guys keep like games and toys
yeah.
for Taylor or whatever. That way she doesn't make you get rid of it. Because that's the thing. That's the moves wives do, is they want you to throw stuff away, your stuff. They won't throw their stuff away. And we've had this discussion on air where Nora will come in and be like, you sure do have a lot of t-shirts. I'm like, yeah, well, you have a lot of shoes. So
yep.
if you want to get in my closet and throw away shirts, I can get in your closet and throw away shoes. And that's like, that puts a stop to that. So maybe just, you know, get the pillow out. Because I'm with you. Like, I have my certain idiosyncrasies that I do. That she's like, that looks stupid. That's ugly. I'm like, well, then don't look at it.
Well, like, so her secret place to wrap Christmas gifts is the man cave. All right? And that's my man cave. Stay the hell out, right?
Yeah. Do you tell her it looks ugly when she wraps gifts in there?
No, I don't ever.
Is it your gift that she
wraps? Bigger thing that, well, mostly Taylor's. But I just go in and I don't say, I mean, look, I don't go and criticize anything in the living room, whatever she's decorating or anything, right? So I go in the man cave and it's for the playoffs. And her wrapping paper and all of her crap still all over. I go, did you forget to clean up in the man cave? She goes, well, I wrapped all the presents. I go, and Christmas was in December. I think it's about time you scamper out up there and clean up some stuff. She goes, ooh, no one's up there. I go, oh, really?
Oh,
but no one's in the family room either, and the pillows matter.
Yeah. You know what you should do? Put the wrapping paper on the couch.
I may do that. I may go home tonight and just start
just
going,
pile
wrapping
it all
paper
up
on
the couch.
Bag of bows on the love seat. Hey,
or,
where do those come from?
Do y'all have like a balcony that overlooks like the living room or anything? Is there a way to like a downstairs?
You can see the living room from the upstairs.
So there's a balcony. There's like a railing and stuff. Uh-huh. I would just gather up all that wrapping paper and I would walk to that balcony and I would just throw it over the balcony.
That might be a little excessive. That might create more problems than I need right now.
I mean, look.
I'm not opposed to putting it like scattering it around the furniture.
Or put it in her closet. Just take it all downstairs and put it in her closet. Be like, here you go. This is yours.
I kind of like that too.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I would do. Of course, yeah. I've been divorced once, so.
So in the meantime, I just brought the cushion in because I was like, you know what? I'm tired of fighting with these bad office chairs. And I would feel really bad if like I canvassed the office looking for like
the right chair. Like you're like Goldilocks in the three chairs.
No.
Like this one's too short. This one's too tall. This one's just right, and I don't need a hemorrhoid pillow.
No.
No?
It's not what it's like. Okay. But I just didn't want to, you know, violate someone else's office space.
Yeah, don't go around violating people at the office. That wouldn't be good. No. Go to HR for that.
There's others that do that. Yeah. So there you go. So
I have to report that I have the most fartness-ass cat we have ever seen. This cat farts more than I do.
Now, we've differentiated between a fart and crapping on your head, right? I'm just asking because at
you
first
are worse
you thought,
than a listener.
Wait, tell me.
You
at
are
first,
worse than
you
a
thought
listener.
That you, at first, what you thought they were farts, and then realized
no,
he was truly
that
crapping
was the
it out.
Other cat.
Oh, that's right.
That was the other cat. That was Marley, not Oliver.
Oliver is more. Listen, what should we say?
Don't give
Oliver
my cat a lisp.
More,
do not give my cat a lisp, Joel. Oliver farts a lot.
Oliver has manners.
No, because he doesn't poop on my pillow.
Yes.
But he also doesn't sleep with us, so we don't know.
Okay.
Not yet. But, man, I have never met an animal or a human that farts as much as this cat does. I feel like he must have something wrong intestinally.
Now, are they like, loud or are they just silent?
No, they're quiet, and you don't know. And then I'm like, was that me? Like, he's got me questioning if I farted. Because, you know, sometimes you do it and you don't even remember.
Oh, but that's the reverse of what I got. I got where I could blame the dogs.
See?
You got where...
Yeah, no, now I was like, oh, good, I have someone to blame. And then I'm like, wait a minute, was that me or was that the cat? I don't remember farting, but I might have just because, you know, you're watching TV, you don't really think about it, you just fart.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, absolutely. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I did fart. I don't know, but this dude, boy, I was thinking about it. Remember yesterday I told you guys I wanted to call him Fidel Castro?
Yeah.
I'm thinking now I might call him Gaseous Clay.
I like that.
He farts another a lot.
Yeah.
Holy cow. So, I don't know. I may have to take him back and get a refund. Be like, can we exchange this one for
can
one?
Do that? No way.
Can we exchange this
Nora
one?
Nora is not going along with that.
No, she's fully in love with this cat.
Can you take an animal back?
So, this is the hilarious part. Is when we were in line to adopt Oliver, there was a lady in front of us with a cat. And, you know, those attention whore people that try to talk to everybody just because they want to be the center of attention. So, she walks in and immediately she's like, oh, my God, this cat. Oh, it's just so terrible. And me and Nora were like, okay, settle down, lady. You don't need to get the whole Montgomery County animal shelter's attention. So she gets in line, and we happen to be behind her. And we were talking about the cat, and she turns around. She goes, are you guys wanting to adopt a cat? We were like, yeah, we have one picked out. You can have this one. We were like, I was like, what's wrong with your cat? She was like, they said it was dog-friendly, and it's driving my chihuahua crazy. I was like, well, your first mistake was getting a chihuahua.
No doubt.
Did not make this lady happy at all. She looked like a grumpy troll to begin with, and now she was really mad that I disparaged the good name of chihuahuas.
Yeah. Well, they're so kind of one people, one person dogs.
She was like, well, he's a good dog, and this is not a good cat. I was like, well, he seems like a pretty good cat to me if he hates chihuahuas. So now she's real pissed. And then she turns around, then she goes to the line, and they're like, can I help you? She's like, I want to return this cat. They were like, man, we don't take returns on animals. She's like, well, what do I do? They were like, well, you can turn it over to us, but it wouldn't be like a return where you get your money back. You adopted the cat. That's your cat now. So if you want to give the cat up, if you want to, you know, turn it over, that's different, but it's $40. She's like, what? So she had to pay $40 to bring the cat back. Now, the guy next to her at the other window was like, hey, I got this crazy ass dog at the house tied up that I want to, you know, give to you guys. Can I just bring it in? They were like, yeah, it's $40. He's like, I don't have $40. They're like, well, it's $40, sir. I think it was, or 35. It was $35.
35 to surrender the dog?
Yeah. He's like, I don't have $35. I'm like, why does your broke ass have a dog to begin with? If you can't afford $35.
Yeah, but also, I've never heard that where they make you pay to surrender a dog.
$35. So he goes, I don't have $35. And they were like, sir, I'm sorry, but in order to bring the dog to us, it's $35. He goes, well, I guess I'll just shoot this sumbitch then, and walked out. I was like, oh my God, no, do not shoot that dog. I was like, ma'am, I'll pay the $35 if I need to, if he comes back. She was like, oh, okay. And he never came back. And I was like, damn, rest in peace, dog. I'm like, man, this is some country ass
protocol.
This is some country ass.
That's exactly why they shouldn't make people pay to surrender an animal, because they're doing the right thing instead of just like letting it go without food.
But if you're some old troll lady that thought it'd be cool to get a cat, she was like,
I get that.
She goes, y'all told me it was dog friendly. It's not dog friendly. I was like, maybe just hated your dog.
You're not friendly.
Yeah. I mean, maybe just didn't like you and your dog.
Your question, too, the other thing is, like, Lisa worked with someone that I'm not going to name their name, but is
pretty well known. Mick
that
Jagger.
Had just gotten to town and suddenly Cheetah. Decided that they really loved a dog. And oh, by the way, conveniently didn't have the money.
Oh, you can't.
And my dumbass wife paid $250 to do everything, get all the shots, get the dog so that she could have a dog. She gave the dog back the next day, no charge. Never saw the money come back our way.
Hey, can you isolate where he said my dumbass wife? Can you just isolate that?
I didn't call her my dumbass wife.
I mean, I think you did.
I didn't.
I feel like you did. Can we back it up? Can we get a replay?
My overly friendly wife paid $250 so that she could get this dog and then turned it in the next day. Didn't tell Lisa.
That is real crappy.
And we never saw the money or have never heard a thing again about maybe I should pay you back.
Cheetah, do the right thing. Give the money back.
Not Cheetah.
Oh.
Okay. 713-780-3776. HR&P listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also reach us on Twitter where it's @BarryIsInquisitive. Or @BarryIsFunny, @PacManJoel with a K, @TheProducerNick. We're just getting started. Full show ahead. Join us, won't you? Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Okay, my wife graduated from UCLA. She's a very intelligent woman. So
when
whether
you said,
I said
she
it
said...
or not, I need to set the record straight that I didn't mean it in a literal sense. I meant it figuratively that she's so damn generous when it comes, especially when it comes to animals, that as you guys know, she will go out of her way to make sure people not only get animals, but then if they're struggling a little bit with everything from like leash and collar to any kind of accessories to whatever, she'll just run down the street and pick up a few things.
Oh, that's because she's got
and just hand it over to people.
Because she's kind and has a big heart.
Now, she verified what you said in that, yes, even when you're when you're giving up surrendering an animal, you're still going to get charged. I think that's ridiculous.
I like that you doubted the fact that I made that up, even though I was standing in line behind two people that were asked to pay the fee. But you still didn't believe me, so you had to verify it. This is where our relationship is.
This marriage
we have was not built on trust, obviously. You and I.
Lisa says it costs money to house, feed, or even euthanize a dog. So the city and county will always charge.
Yep.
And it also serves as a small deterrent so that people might think about keeping the animal. Unfortunately, the scenario you painted was they may think about killing the animal themselves.
I guess one bullet is cheaper than $35.
Well, I've told you a couple stories where Lisa thought good things were going to happen and thought she had gotten people to turn the corner and be very animal friendly. And then in one fall swoop, they decided to share a story of an animal and a gun in the woods. And I went, okay, I'm going to walk over here down the aisle because this one's not going to go so well. It's not going to end up well, and I'm not going to want to be in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I mean, you talk about that, like how I was telling you in the break, like you talk about how we used to be. I totally trust you, but, you know, just like anything else, I thought that for all the work Lisa's done, that I thought when you surrender a dog, you don't have to pay. Because she tells me stories all the time, like these people bring in a cardboard box and there'll be like four puppies and they just drop it on the counter and or by the doorstep and just leave.
Yeah, there was a lady in line behind us with a laundry basket full of kittens. And I told my wife, I was like, hey, listen, I'm not being cheap.
Yeah, you are.
But maybe just turn around and glance in the basket and see if you like any of those. Because I'm sure she would let us just walk out with one. She goes, it's $20, a-hole. Turn your ass back around.
Now, is that 20, then she'll have to give the shots and everything.
Nope. This cat came fully loaded. Like
the
a
cat
vehicle.
You got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was neutered.
But I'm saying if it you go right to the cardboard box, you don't know.
Oh, yeah. We would have done all that. But the cat we got, Oliver, was neutered.
Oliver.
Nope. Oliver.
Nick, like have you
Oliver,
heard his name?
Like Oliver Stone. Oliver. Oliver North. Stop.
We've established he's a
sophisticated
he's a
see,
cat.
I made the joke, and now he's going to pile on and make me mad because you're calling my son gay.
I am not. I have not made one of those references. I just think
you said
Oliver
with a lisp.
I think Oliver is a sophisticated cat of the world.
Nope.
With manners.
Don't you know what? Your three-legged dog's going to get his ass whooped by my gay cat, and then it's going to be sad for you.
You should go to Seattle.
Oh, is that where he is?
That's where he is.
No, never mind.
Found him his forever home in Seattle.
Never mind. Yeah. We ain't going there. So
they have a space needle there.
So
just letting you know.
So yeah, but he was neutered, had all of his shots. They like checked him for worms. They microchipped him. I'm like, you don't need to microchip the cat. Trust me, if he runs away, bye.
No. See, you're just, I don't know that you're right to be an animal owner if that's the way you feel. If your cat disappeared, and you think about how heartbroken Nora would be if that cat ran away.
Yeah, no, I would be sad too, and I would go look.
But if someone else
for about
finds,
30 minutes, it,
yeah.
then I would.
Yeah.
Stop
I'd be
my
like,
efforts.
Well, maybe we shouldn't have got him declawed. Because he's really going to be in trouble now. He don't have his weapons with him.
Especially with all those feral hogs in the yard.
Oh, boy.
But. The reason why you microchip is because then if someone finds your cat, they just take it to the vet, scan it, and they can return it.
So she bought him a collar with his name, and it says, I'm chipped. And I was like, no one puts a collar on a cat? She was like, yeah, I want him to have a collar. Puts it on him. 2 seconds, he tears their collar right off because it's one of those release things. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he did it. He got the collar off. I was like, I guess he's spoken.
I had an anti-flea, like, minty-scented collar on my cat.
Oh, you did? Oh, I thought on you.
No. Why is it minty-scented?
See, I'd pay $40 to send you back to the shelter you came from.
Nice try. They won't want me.
But I will say this.
Yeah, why was it mint scented?
Yeah.
Because it was trying to mask, like, I guess, the anti-flea portion of
it. Oh.
Sure it wasn't trying to mask the fart portion that Barry's dealing with?
Maybe.
That's what I need to do. What I'm going to do is just tie one of those trees, air fresheners, to his tail, right above his beehole. And he can just run around and fart all he wants, and it'll just smell like pine cones and fart in the house.
I will say this. I was scanning the dial this morning. So
yes.
That's why for you saying that I don't trust you and, you know, where's our relationship? I love you guys because listening to some of the crap that was out there today and how people were just not just stepping on people, but like running and jogging in place on them and just all over them. And I'm going, and then their take sucked. And I was like, oh my God, thank goodness for Nick and Barry in our show, because we've come such a long way that we don't do that anymore.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Man, there's some bad.
Hey, when we come back and we talk about, I learned something about the whole Kobe Bryant thing, sure, specifically regarding TMZ.
Okay.
Pretty.
Oh yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Pretty crappy to hear about.
I don't know,
happened.
But I have an idea what you're talking
pretty
about.
Pretty crappy to hear about what happened. Yeah.
All right. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Fitz Roofing. If you, especially with the weather again today in Houston, have realized you got a leak in a roof or you want to put a new roof on your house, there's only one place to go. It's Fitz Roofing. They're locally owned and operated. They've been doing great work in the community forever and a day. And the bottom line is they're not like the deposit thieves, storm chasers, and sketchy roofers that come in, take your money up front, do crappy work, disappear, and you can never get the job done right. They are focused on you and the job at hand. That means they're going to take care of business, so much so that they're going to give you a free no obligation inspection. All you got to do is give them a call. 832-521-3001. Call them. They'll come to you. They'll see what they can do, and then they'll let you know. You call them back. They're going to do great work, and they have the ratings to prove it. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau. 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. If you need anything done with a roof, it's crazy if you don't go to Fitz. Fitz Roofing uses CertainTeed shingles, best shingle in business. So much so they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Their base warranties longer than your average roofer. They take care of you. Check them out at FITZroofing.com, or better yet, like I said, call them 832-521-3001. Set up that free no obligation inspection. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half hour of the show starts right now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Tuesday in the big city. Before we get into rumors of the Astros possibly getting close on a manager and a huge Rockets win last night, you found out something you did not know.
Yeah, I was, I forget where I saw the initial post. It might have been in one of those emails we get, like a show prep email.
Yeah.
Well, apparently when Kobe Bryant's helicopter crashed, and everybody on board obviously passed, and the sheriff of the county where it happened was investigating and trying to get all of the facts about what had happened together. And before they were able to notify the family, TMZ went ahead and broke the story. And the family found out, well, I shouldn't say that. The sheriff said, how awful would it be to find out that your husband passed via TMZ? And he's like, we have to be better than that. And I agree. It's pretty awful that you would rush to get the story out as opposed to having just enough respect and a little human decency to let the sheriff notify the family first before you release it.
So I was watching the press conference live. One, we don't know which family it was because he didn't allude to it. But he was getting peppered with questions about, was it Kobe Bryant? And, you know, obviously as reporters go, well, if you're not going to tell me it's Kobe Bryant, well, who was the helicopter registered to? And doing all these other things. And he goes, look, we're just not going to do it. And then he made the statement you're referring to. So we don't know if it was, you know, Vanessa and the family that found out about Kobe or Altabelli's next of kin, his son and his other child. I don't know, or the husband of the mom and the daughter that were on the helicopter, but somebody, basically it was alluded to, his family found out through TMZ.
And his quote was, it would be extremely disrespectful to understand that your loved one perished, and you learn about it from TMZ. This is just wholly inappropriate. I am saddened that I was gathering facts as a media outlet reported Kobe had passed. I understand getting the scoop, but please allow us time to make personal notifications to their loved ones. It's very cold to hear of the loss via media. Breaks my heart. And it absolutely is awful.
My question to you would be, if Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport had this story, would they do the same thing or would they not?
I don't know. I don't know that anyone ever stops to think about the victim's family.
What would Mark Berman do?
I don't know.
Because he's Mr. Scoop, right?
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying, though. I don't know that anyone stops and goes, hey, I wonder if the family even knows yet.
No, because it's all about getting it first. I mean, the skill comes in two places when it comes down to breaking news. Writing accurately and getting it done first.
And reliable sources. And
You know.
Well, and Nick, you're right, because you of all people know, like, if we refer to something on the show, there is a literal fight over who gets credit for breaking the story. Like, if we were to bring breaking news to the table and just hypothetically say the Astros have hired Dusty Baker, you would have to say news first reported by Bob Nightingale of USA Today,
right,
or Jeff Passan of ESPN. And if you got it wrong or you didn't do that, in a lot of cases, they will come at you and say, give credit where credit is due, bro, because it's a big deal.
Yeah, because that's a part of the challenge. It's a part of the as a reporter that breaks news and that is not just simply a columnist. That's kind of your job. And I'm just being devil's advocate, because believe me, dude, I wouldn't want to find out that my loved one passed away through TMZ, especially like TMZ. I hate to say it. I'm not trying to shoot shots at it, or I guess we are, but it's just a different type of website in terms of the content. It's not necessarily like the most appropriate content, you know?
They're notorious, though, for this.
Yeah, they are.
Like, some of the people that were saying they did it with Prince, they did it with Michael Jackson. You know, it gets to a point, and I get it. And well, I should say this. I don't want to say I get it. I don't understand why it's so important to be first.
I think
Can someone explain to me?
I think because people then get the reputation of being looked at as the cutting edge source for all the breaking news and information. I think that's what Berman has gotten off on over the years.
Really?
With the name Scoop.
Mark Berman is your source for breaking news in Houston.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
Yes.
Dude,
and when
he's
trumped on it, he's pissed.
He is like the best in the business.
Are you serious?
No question.
As much as I talk about him.
I don't even follow that dude on Twitter.
In terms of local news.
Because here's the thing. I don't need to know. If I find out about it 15 seconds after it happened as opposed to 5, I don't care. So knowing right away, I don't care what the source is.
It's a really big deal.
But that's what I'm saying. If I would have found out Kobe passed at 1 o'clock our time, if I would have found out at 5 p.m. that night as opposed to 1:05.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to you, but in terms of their numbers.
If Dusty Baker gets hired, if I find out about it 4 hours after it happened as opposed to right when the decision was made, I don't care.
What I would like to see happen is if you really know for sure that you're the only one that has the story, and it regards the death of someone who lost a loved one, say, hey, just to let you know, I don't know if you know yet, but your loved one passed away, and then report.
Ooh, maybe, I don't know if you want to be notified.
Yeah, I don't know if you
want to
be the messenger either. Yeah.
Well,
I think the appropriate thing would be better.
You're learning from the interweb or learning from someone telling you verbally?
So let me explain how it works. TMZ has people on the inside at the county coroner, at the sheriff's department, at all these things. They pay people to give them these scoops. So I think they could take it a step further and just reach out to the sheriff and go, hey, we know Kobe privately. We know Kobe was on the helicopter. We have sources that have told us that. Have you guys notified the family yet? No. Well, listen, we're going to break this in 20 minutes. We suggest you notify them now.
That'd be a good way.
So why not do that? Yeah. Or we're going to give you 10 minutes. Get on the phone and call Vanessa right now. Still cold-hearted, but at least she has the opportunity to find out from someone trained.
And
in notifying people that their family members
have
passed.
I like that idea.
I like it too. But here's the bigger problem too. The bigger problem at hand is everything that happened Saturday was broken by TMZ, not by ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN. And that's becoming a bigger problem. And if the reason why that is exactly what Barry said, because they're paying for the stories. So essentially, Lisa and I were talking about this as the story was unfolding. There's some scum within either the sheriff's department, the coroner, as Barry said, or someone that was on the scene that saw this and said, you know what? I could either A, shut my mouth, B, go to one of the news services, so at least the information is to a credible source, or C, make about 20 to 40 grand by breaking this bad boy and getting paid by TMZ.
You think it's
really
that
the
much?
Number?
I don't think it's that much.
If it's a story this
five
big,
grand,
if
10
it's a
grand,
story
maybe.
This big, I'm not saying I know for sure, but I think it's a bigger number than you think.
Well, if you're still saying 5-10 grand as opposed to 10 or 20, I don't think that's still a lot of money to me.
5 to 10 grand?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Just to say, hey.
Well, look, for me, I mean, I probably wouldn't do it. It would depend. But the reality is these people, they know TMZ's reputation. So if they just happen to be at the scene, it's not like TMZ said, be right there where the helicopter crashed because we know that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Someone happened to be there, came up with the idea, hey, how can I benefit from this? How can I make money? And TMZ just happened to be the publication that got it first.
See, I think it's somebody on the inside at the sheriff's office, at the coroner's office. I think that they have people. And in fact, somebody was saying, listen, there's no way that TMZ could know about this unless they had sources on the inside.
Okay, so how did the South Carolina cop get caught?
They have sources everywhere.
You know how? Because someone was right there, and he gave that.
No,
video
sure, to, that happens. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, that happens
a
lot.
If you were out at a club, let's say you're at Tight Ends having a drink, and J.J. Watt comes in and gets in a fight, and you're like, "Oh snap!" and you're videoing it, I would expect you to be like, there "Yo, TMZ, hit me up with 5 grr. Here's a video of J.J. Watt getting in a fight at Tight Ends."
My point is, it's not just totally those sources that. From the sheriff, is what
true.
I'm saying.
True. Okay. Yeah. For sure, there are always going to be people that can capitalize from it.
The public is there. Chances are someone got it. And then you're dealing with just any Joe Schmo.
But identifying bodies
trying to make money
on a crash helicopter, that's an inside job.
For sure.
And that's what's so shameful about breaking the news the way they do.
You also
especially
are documented.
The location of the site. Because when that same press conference we were talking about, when the sheriff and the fire department talked about the actual side of the hill where the crash happened, they had to lower down from a helicopter paramedics to be on the scene as quick as possible. The firefighters had to take four-wheel drive vehicles. Once they got to the site, they had to scale up half the hill and then take either some all-terrain vehicles or have some other means because they couldn't get to the site easily. So it had to be an inside job.
Mm-hmm. Also, you have to remember the air traffic controllers, every time you lift off in flight, that's documented. So there's probably some documentation with the air traffic control where these five people boarded this helicopter, they lifted from this particular location, and they're headed to this location. All
that
is documented.
Is that public, though? How much of it's public? It's documented, but how much of it is public access online or otherwise?
I don't know. I mean, I know that's something that's documented for sure because that's always something that's made reference to in the court system, you know?
If it
involves like a crime or something serious that needs to be in the courts and processed.
Well, even on the Rockets charter, it's like, well, it's the Rockets charter. Why do we have to take a head count? Well, because
you have to.
FAA rule states you have to have an exact head count and all the identified names that are on any flight. But I just don't know if that's public or not.
I don't know if the names are public. I don't think the names are public.
Because in certain cases, you can say, well, that helicopter with the code, whatever, the license number on the side of the tail, but that helicopter
still honestly would make
so
it an inside source. Like that'd be similar to the sheriff.
You would have people at the FAA. You'll have people at the sheriff's office, the coroner's office, hospitals. You'll have people that do admitting into
because
hospitals
it's a government entity.
On your payroll.
Yeah.
You'll have all these people, and TMZ has plenty of money to do it. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I'm like outraged. I just feel bad that this is where we're at, that we can't wait 20 minutes to get the scoop. We had to know then. And again, I still don't understand the whole fascination with breaking news. And I don't care who the source is or when I find out. I really don't. I've never understood the fascination with having to know right now. Because as soon as I find out, I go to whatever source I trust.
Well, Barry, it's like they said, it used to be a 24-hour news cycle. Now it's 24 seconds. And someone's always wanting it now.
I mean, What is the difference between knowing now and knowing an hour
I'm
from now?
I'm just telling you, there are people out there that I'm gonna have TMZ as my front page if I know that they get me the
breaking people
news
need to
quickly.
Get a life. Those people need to get a life.
I don't disagree with
yeah.
you. All right, so we're rolling through hour number one of the show. Still lots more to get to and over 2 hours to do it. So we're going to cover that Rockets win last night. We're going to talk about the Astros and their general manager and managerial searches. And we're going to talk about things that are on your mind you want to get off your chest. 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, proudly hydrating with C-Force water.
That's high quality H2O.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Arguing with Raheel in between
sort
breaks.
Sort of break up your conversation, guys, just to do the radio. We're back.
He's making fun of me being an Android user, and I was making fun of him being an iPhone user. And he asked me, why is Ari Shaffir such a D-head? And I was like, I'm not sure. Some people just have no class. I don't know. Can't tell you.
You mentioned him yesterday, if you want to refresh the people's memory that might have missed
He basically came out and said he was glad Kobe passed, and that he was a rapist, and that... whoever forgot to fuel up the helicopter, he thanks him, and it was pretty classless. And there's this big debate going on now, but amongst myself and plenty of other comedians, not just here in Houston and on my Facebook feed and stuff, but all over the country, about when is too soon too soon. Because in comedy, we love to joke about somebody will make a Hitler joke or an Abe Lincoln in the theater joke and then be like, what, too soon? And that is usually funnier than the joke itself, which shows you how bad the joke was. But in this case, I was of the opinion that, hey, why not just, instead of having to make Kobe jokes 2 hours, 4 hours after this tragedy has happened, and the same thing is true for anything, school shootings, 9/11, like people are literally making jokes, and I'm like, just give people a moment to process it. I'm not saying don't make your jokes. I would never censor anyone, especially comedians. Say what you want to say. And if it, the audience is going to let you know if you're a jerk or not. And the backlash will let you know if you're a jerk or not. You say what you want. I'm not going to censor you. But there's this old tried and true formula of comedy where comedy is tragedy plus timing equals comedy. That's the formula. So part of that is the tragedy and part of that is the timing. And that's why the jokes that where people say too soon comes into play. So my thing is, if you're out there and you want to make your jokes, cool. Make your jokes. Just give it 48 hours. That's all I'm saying. Just give it a couple days. Let people process it however they process it. And then make all your stupid jokes and get your 4 likes on Facebook or Twitter or whatever because that makes you feel better. That's fine. Just give it some time.
Yeah,
have a little
say
bit
the
of class.
It's 48 hours. It just each no, every, I just, every that's situation
me.
Is different.
Sure, yeah. But that's me. I'm just saying, you know, because people want to just immediately, you know, everyone is going to make the Kobe finally passed joke or whatever. You know, terrible, awful, easy jokes are going to surface from a lot of hack comics that can't get creative or feel the need to do that for a like. Hey. Give it 48 hours before you make an ass of yourself.
You're just saying give it some time. You don't necessarily have to stick to that number. You're just saying just give it some time.
That's it.
I agree with that. And you know what? Kobe might be afforded a little bit more time before the too soon, I guess, marker ends or begins. But at the same time, give it some time regardless, whatever you've... And you look, some people might get offended if you... It's been, what, 2 days now?
No, it happened Sunday. So, I guess.
Yeah, it's been 2 days.
Yeah, it's been 48 hours. Been almost to the moment that we came on air.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Because it landed, it crashed to my report. The report I saw was 9:48 Pacific time, which is what, 11:48 here?
Yeah. And then there was all of the time where they were trying to figure out who was on board and verified it. Because the other thing you guys got to remember now.
I think it broke that it was him at about 1.
I would say that, yeah.
So
yeah.
To your point last segment, the other thing you got to remember is Rick Fox, according to some sources, was on that helicopter.
Jeez.
And people didn't give a rat's ass that they were throwing a man's name out there and setting the world on fire for people that knew him until someone actually got in contact with his agent, of all people, to verify that he was on the ground safely somewhere entirely different than where the crash happened. But for about an hour, I had friends of mine going, did you hear that Kobe and Rick Fox are dead? Well, no. And that's not right either.
It's not cool. I mean, if I dug further enough, I would have been able to tell right away. But when the news broke, I just immediately assumed it was true. I saw Kobe's sources. I didn't see Rick Fox. And then I'm watching ESPN. I'm like, this is so disrespectful. All you guys are talking about is Kobe Bryant. You guys are not even mentioning Rick Fox. Little did I know, Rick Fox
wasn't even
on the plane, so on the helicopter. So and that's not cool, man.
And it's then you've got the other side where people are like, forget Kobe. Why aren't we talking about the veterans? It's like, what? I saw this on my Facebook. Well, no one's making a big deal about veterans that passed. It's like, what are you talking about? What, you can do one thing without doing the other, and you can do both. It's the same thing where people were like, oh, this is the whole, oh, you know, blue lives matter, white lives matter, all lives matter. It's like, bro, you can have a conversation about one thing without having to include the other one and vice versa.
So getting back to – and the point I was making too is, you, to your point, you said that if the family found out – well, here's the other bad thing. Aside from Rick Fox, there was another report out there that all of Kobe's kids were on and were dead. And if you don't fact check that and you don't check the sources 18 times over before you come out – you talk about irresponsible journalism, and God forbid, obviously if Vanessa's sitting there with some of her kids, she knows they weren't all on board. But – next of kin, you know, close family members, friends are going, wait, what?
Yeah. And let's remember, too, there are times that have broken on the internet where they have said so-and-so died, and the person wasn't dead, and it was all to get clicks to the website
or on their
Twitter, and then that person has to respond to the tweet and be like, I'm not dead. I forget who it was. It was somebody, I don't remember if it was a comedian or an actor.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these guys
are Morgan Freeman or something like that, or Samuel L. Jackson. But somebody was like, oh, he's dead. And he was like, no, I'm not. I'm alive and well.
Yeah. I remember it.
And it was like, I don't know who's saying I'm dead, but I'm here.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, I don't understand.
The problem is a lot of them are like Joe Schmoes, and anybody can put up a website.
It's the same thing we talk about in quote sports media.
Yep.
So got all these fake-ass hacks.
So let's say they do post something that's inaccurate. They still benefit from the clicks. Yeah, their reputation takes a hit, but they still get the clicks. Yes. So the next time some catastrophe or some disaster happens, they can still do it and still get clicks. And that's the sad part.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. All right, before we get out of this first hour of the show, Aaron wants to get in and talk about the helicopter crash. Aaron, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, good. You guys hit really every major point that's been a concern of mine since this whole thing erupted, from the social media tactics and how everything happened as far as the release of the information. And going back to that, one of my first thoughts was really when I heard you guys talking, the main people who actually know who was all on board would have been Island Express initially. And one of my thoughts was how easy it would have been for one of them just to communicate with a relative or somebody. Hey, we think this happened. We lost communication. And then TMZ goes and tries to confirm that. You know, they did try. I don't know if you guys know, but they did try to backtrack that a little bit. They took those links down. It was just a little too late.
You said TMZ tried to backtrack, Aaron?
They did, because when I first saw it, I went and I was just digging really hard. I'm a big Kobe fan, and nothing was coming up. And when I would go to their specific links, it would say, you know, gateway error, or, you know, this link is down, temporary unavailable. So in my opinion, they tried to come back from it. It just wasn't something that was salvageable at that point. And I definitely appreciate your comment about the comparison with I'm a first responder myself and a firefighter, so... You know, we grieve our brothers, and it could be all over the world. We still grieve for them. But the reason that people become fans of these guys is because they watch them for years and years and years, and their families and their lives. And, you know, they make a connection, and they feel like they know them. That's why they're fans of them. So, you know, to try to do apples and oranges there, I'm just not really sure what the process is. And I'm going to look forward to the next time something like this happens, and we'll see if we still get that same kind of backlash or if this is because it's an NBA player. And people don't understand.
Agree, Aaron. Thank you so much. And by the way, Aaron, thank you for your service in our community. Yeah. As a firefighter, we appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the other thing people were talking about is why are so many people so upset about this when they weren't a Laker fan, they weren't a Kobe fan. But you know what? In a lot of ways, as we know, even doing this show, people, when they get accustomed to like listening to us every day or seeing Kobe and realizing...
You feel like you know
him. Yeah, they get to feel like they know you. And then if you do have the opportunity to meet us at remotes or whatever like that, people feel like there's, you know, the ultimate connection. With Kobe, it's because he came in at 17 and everybody watched him grow up.
Yeah.
And so as part of that, they felt a connection.
A good example of that, and not to beat a dead horse, but like when we were joking last week about Nick and my mom and everything, just fun jokes between us and people, listeners, felt like they could get in and talk about my mom. It's like, well, don't take it too far. I know you think you know me, but you don't even know my mom's name, and you just so it you. But that's the same thing. You feel like you knew Kobe. Mm-hmm. None of us knew Kobe, but you felt like you did because you knew everything about him.
Yeah, we were careful too. I mean, Nick, you've covered him. I covered him. I've interviewed him, but well, I don't think because I've interviewed him and met him that I could genuinely say I know him.
Right.
And a lot of people do. Like you said, the same people that are trolling and doing other things with blogs and other things are going out there from a first-person perspective of saying, this is my guy.
Yes. Oh, my God. Seeing people talk about his wife and kids like they know them or talk about him like they know him. Just stop. We have got to do something about this hack-ass social media and these hack sports media folks. We're going to start this campaign. We got to do something.
Barry on business. He's going to take care of it as he starts to weed out those that deserve it in sports media.
Yes.
We'll be back with hour number two. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.